Are you on the RCR mailing list? Never miss a beat of the news and hard-hitting stories you've come to know and love. Stay in the loop. Visit realitycheck.radio/email.
Welcome back, everybody. You are listening to the Up Your Brave show with Natalie Cutler-Welsh on Reality Check Radio. Next up, I'm talking to the amazing, the inspirational Coca Kluk, and we're talking about smiling again, finding the key to ultimate freedom to overcome everything that life throws at you. Welcome to the show, Coca.
Welcome, Natalie. Thank you so much. This is so, so beautiful. I love to hear your voice.
I'm so thrilled to bring you to my RCR audience because I know that you've been so impactful for so many people. Some of you might know Coca. She is, in fact, the founder and CEO of Yoga Tribe. She's also a beautiful graphic designer. And Coca, as your bio, as I introduce you, I'm going to read something. I feel like this really captures the essence of you. So this is a little different, but this is the way we're going to do the introduction today. This is what Coca says. She says, "I am a dreamer and artist, the architecture of my own reality. A characteristic that is not always played in favor when doing business, but I believe in miracles and the power of our minds to create. I see no obstacles, only an invitation to play, to end up laughing at what once might have brought tears, to expand and to enjoy every moment of this gift called life. Remembering where we came from and where we are going, the answer should always be love. Gratitude is the gift that allows me to keep going, and I believe it's the simplest and most powerful tool of happiness. I want people to remember, too, that this life is constant. It is a constant invitation to participate. Therefore, we must take ownership of our actions and creations. It's challenging, but so rewarding. All that is asked from you is to simply do your best. The rest is giving. Come and play with us, connect, and be part of our tribe. Love, Coca." Oh, that is so beautiful.
It's more beautiful read it by you with your accent.
Well, you've had a powerful impact on so many people, and not only in New Zealand with, you know, you've got a beautiful accent as well. Not only in New Zealand, I know that Yoga Tribe is international. And I remember, you know, you and I connected a few years ago and then we hadn't seen each other in many years. We reconnected. Thank you to Lisa Black. Many of my listeners know Lisa. She's been a guest twice on our show. You and I reconnected again. And then you came to my networking club and people who know you, they were like, "Oh my God, is that Coca? Is that Coca from Yoga Tribe?" Meanwhile, I was a total newbie to the world of yoga. So I just had no idea that it was this really big deal. So you've been so influential in creating such an amazing community. Can you tell me a little bit about, well, your own journey? Let's specifically focus though on the past 4 years. How have things changed for you with your life and with Yoga Tribe?
Okay. Wow, that's a lot. but I guess that firstly will be important to understand that when I created Yoga Tribe, which was about 9 years ago, I always been passionate about yoga. I practice yoga maybe for 24 years. And I didn't really know what yoga was until I did my training. I wanted to be a yoga teacher, but just because it feels good to practice yoga, you know, and I was young and sporty and flexible and whatever, but I could only understand what yoga was when I did my studies. And then I understood that yoga was way more than just being flexible and do some asanas, some postures and stretches. When I discovered that, something really ignited me, which was the need of sharing yoga as practice to everyone that you can do when you are driving in a traffic or when you are waiting in a line in the supermarket. You know, like that is the yoga that I'm more interested in, the union between your mind, body, and spirit, the gift that a yoga lifestyle give to anyone. So when I started Yoga Tribe, was basically because I combined the two big passions that I had, which was design, because I'm a designer. I studied design 6 years back at home. I'm from Chile, by the way. That is a strong accent. But I never did design. Oh, well, that's not true. I did design freelancing every now and then, but I was solidly a mom and a solo mom in New Zealand in a foreign country, which was not an easy task, right? And I sort of abandoned myself, to be honest, as a woman to become this mom, which I don't regret at all, because now when you see, you know, like your 17 years old daughter, and it's like, oh, it's worth it, you know, like it's just definitely worth it for sure. But I forgot who I was. And it was when Mila was about 9 years old, then I was able to do my yoga teacher training and remember what was my mission, that love that I have for yoga. And I started to teach yoga everywhere in Mount Maunganui, where I was living at the time. And I was looking at a white canvas, really, every time I practiced. My yoga mat was a platform to create something. You know, you look down all the time. It's your magic carpet, really, when you're practicing yoga, you know, especially when you're teaching yoga all the time. So that's when Yoga Tribe was born, when I realized that there was a platform there to create something, to pass a message, a nonverbal message. But there was one big factor, and I guess that was the big difference with Yoga Tribe, that I didn't want to create a plastic yoga mat. I didn't want to print anything in a plastic yoga mat. So my search was to find what it was at that time, the first eco-friendly yoga mat in New Zealand. And that was kind of like the big deal at the time. And that's why we create a community around the eco-friendly and sustainable concept of yoga products that weren't plastic anymore. And to be honest, I think that there was a big factor, and I guess that we will talk about later on today, that I didn't really want it to be about me. I didn't want it to be about Kokakluk. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be about a community, a group of people coming together to create something bigger than ourselves. And the name Yoga Tribe was already in my field, because I already created a website called Tribe of Love. That was a website that I created locally for people who sell beautiful things like honey or crocheted things, you know, like the classic New Zealand market, little beautiful things that they don't have a platform online. So I create this beautiful website called Tribe of Love to help those people, local markets, to sell the stuff online. And Yoga Tribe was the yoga part of Tribe of Love. So when I created the yoga mat, Yoga Tribe took over and ended up taking completely over in a couple of, probably just a few months, to be really honest. But what I think that was the difference, as I said before, was the community aspect of it. More than the beautiful product, it was beautiful, I must say, and it has a strong meaning. I always say that all the products in Yoga Tribe were products with soul. They carry some frequency, you know. They all have an extra meaning that is beyond the functionality. You know, they are beautiful, yes, to look at. They are amazing. They are eco-friendly, so good. But as well, they have in their design an intention that carry a frequency that I think that sort of elevated in a way. And that was received by the people around. And I think that that's why the resonance and the sort of the dominoes effect of Yoga Tribe was the essence of where it was born, which was a heart space, you know, like really feeling of like what I would like to receive when I'm from my mat when I'm practicing, or, you know, like that the questioning of the designs or the products to come was never what will sell more, was never really like a selling sort of point of view of like trying to get people's money. It was more like, how we can serve, you know? And I think that that was definitely well received. Mm. And we grow so fast. It was a lot.
I know, because that's what I mean, my impression, I know being an entrepreneur, I know from personal experience, it's a lot of work and you got to keep going and you've got to sometimes change your messaging or your angle or your idea. But I feel like my impression is Yoga Tribe just exploded. Like it just took off internationally. And I know you're a creator and an artist and a graphic designer. So that would have been a big shock for you. How did things change though in the last 4 years, like with the whole COVID situation? That's fine. Fantastic. I love it because you're giving us a really good foundation so people can really appreciate the magnitude. It's not just a business that did well. It's like a movement, a community. That's the difference. Yeah.
And there's been a lot of ups and downs. And I think that that will be so beautiful for people to understand that whatever you look at, and one thing that I have a gift on, and I'm not embarrassed to say anymore, is to make things to look beautiful. You know, like I have that gift. And I think that that was a big factor of Yoga Tribe. Everything looks so beautiful. Everything looks really flash. But at the backstage, it was me like doing the dishes, hanging the clothes, being a solo mom, running forever, exploding back because I had a prolapse desk at the end of the first year. You know, like, so there was a lot of suffering, and the biggest moment in the Yoga Tribe life was actually a few years back when, just before COVID, we were doing pretty well, and I placed my biggest order to the Chinese supplier. And I create a massive campaign of the Pantone of the year so that we had a new color mat and everything was great. And we went to China, we found this factory, we met the people, we learned how the mats were produced. It was just so, we were just surfing the top of the wave, you know? And then we came back to New Zealand and the supplier took 3 more months that we should have received those mats in New Zealand after 3 months, and the supplier took 6 months, basically. So that 3 extra months was super tough for me because I no longer had products to sell. So I have to create a pre-order, get creative. That's the key of smiling again is always, you know, like just instead of get preoccupied, you just get occupied. That is the secret, really. You just find a way. It's the moment, it's the invitation to get creative and find alternative. And that's what I did. And I did a pre-order. So when the mats finally arrived, we did a massive shipping all over to Australia, I remember, to South Island. And all these mats flew off the window. And within 2 weeks, we had a tsunami of emails complaining that the mats were faulty, you know, and I was like, I just really paralyzed. Basically, the 3,000 mats were faulty mats. And what was faulty was the worst thing, was that you open the mat, it was beautiful, you practice in the mat, it was beautiful, you roll the mat, and then there were pieces of rubber all over the floor. So it was paralyzing. I really paralyzed with that. And that was the sort of the beginning of the end sort of thing. It's been 4 years. In the last 4 years, it's been the last. So many, many beautiful things has happened from this experience. But when this particular experience happened, I paralyzed. I could no longer sell a premium mat and a premium brand and with a premium cost when it's faulty, right? So I basically stopped selling.
Did you have to do a recall or did you have to ship them back?
So what happened is that normally when something like that happened and you have a supplier, they send you back the products. It was 100% their fault. But COVID came and they disappear. They disappear with my money. They disappear. They ghost us, basically. They stop. At the beginning, for a month or so, they were trying to negotiate the number of replacement, you know, saying, oh, maybe we can send you back 70% of the production. What that would have been actually okay. But when we were in the middle of those conversations, COVID came and they just disappear. So I basically stay with the faulty mats for 2 years. But it wouldn't been a massive deal if I would have had more money to carry on. But that was all the money invested in the biggest production ever. And we had a salesperson for the first time, a new website. Everything was like massive, you know? It was.
So you went from surfing the wave into a big crash and tumbling under the water as such.
Exactly. The biggest.
How did you get up again? Let's keep going with the metaphor. How did you get back on the surfboard and, to use your phrasing, smile again? Because that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about, and this is something everyone can relate to. You know, in life, sometimes you're cruising along, everything's going great, and something happens, you know, whether it be something in your business, like happened to you, or something with someone's health, or whatever, something in a relationship. How do we smile again?
So I think that the first thing that it was needed for me was to tune in into what was true for me. I struggled so much to be selling a product that I didn't even believe in. And I could not sell a faulty mat, you know, without saying to people that was faulty. So immediately I had to cut all the wholesale. I took 1,000 mats out of the website straight away because there were some of those mats that were in that faulty. And so with the 1,000 mats that I took out of the website, I went to a festival and I put them in a basket and I put them as seconds and outlet. And I say to people, this is what is happening. This is the problem with these mats. But people love the Yoga Tribe brand so much that they were happy to buy them anyway at cost price. And that kind of give me a little bit of hope because I realized that people were willing to spend $70 in a Yoga Tribe or $75 in a full team Yoga Tribe mat just because of the design and was still beautiful to practice on, knowing that they were faulty. That was really, it was almost like a conditioner to my soul, you know? It was like, wow, people really value the brand, you know?
Yeah, and they're still with you. They're still with you.
Exactly. So in that way, we got back all those mats to the website and create a whole page saying, these mats are faulty. This is the truth. This is what happened. And I wrote a letter and I make a podcast, a postcard that I put in every single box. So every time someone bought a mat, they receive a postcard that explains the situation. And it says, if you are experiencing this and if this is something that you don't want, send the mat back and we give you your money back. Mm-hmm. So I basically was in completely loss for a non-profit at all for 2.5 years.
Yeah.
It was massive. But you know what? Answering to your question, how you smile again, I think that what really allows you to smile again is the space that you create when you completely let go and let God. For miracles to happen, you know? So what was happening at the time was, it was a stressful situation. Obviously, it was a constant loss. There was no profit, zero. And my partner at the time, he was like, get rid of it, you know, like it's costing us money and whatever. And I'm like, I don't know why I just had this feeling and this attachment to this baby, you know? Kind of like, no, I won't let it die. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, I was actually in bed and I had a phone call in my WhatsApp from a random number that I didn't know. And it was this girl who introduced herself as Luna. And she said, I'm from Chile, but I live in Barcelona. My husband is Spanish. And we are calling you because we are very interested to be the distributors of Yoga Tribe in Europe. And it was a longer conversation than that, but that was kind of like the short story. And they become the Yoga Tribe Europe distribution. And that was the miracle, right? Wow. So that's the only way why we continue going, because they come, they bought $1,000 to start the brand in Europe, and that will allow us to produce again. Otherwise, we wouldn't have money to produce again. So the secret to smile again, I feel like it's always when you are in the biggest hole and you see all dark and very limited capacity to even put some strength to get out of the hole, because there is a moment that you are in the hole that you're almost comfortable in it, you know, which I call the victimhood. Is just like you're so comfortable in the hole that to be the victim that you don't even want to get out. You don't feel that you have the strength and the capacity or the clarity of mind. And I feel and I believe these days in my life that all is asked for you is to surrender, to let go, to say, you know what? I just can't. I don't wanna. I honor whatever is the stage that you are at that moment, which is exactly how I feel at the time. And that was, but with that knowing, that kind of underlying faith that everything will always be perfect, you know? So when you learn how to declare everything perfect, not because everything, there's nothing perfect of 3,000 yoga mats faulty. There is nothing perfect when you have a sick child, or there's nothing perfect when your car is being towed, you know? But if you can declare it perfect, you skip to a level of awareness that is, it instantly take you to the miracle realms. You know, it seems like I'm talking very religiously here, but I'm, you know, like I'm not even religious, but I feel like anyone can relate to what I'm saying. And I'm saying miracles in terms of those moments in life that are even hard to comprehend, because our capacity, our logic wouldn't allow us to believe that it's possible, you know? And I have witnessed so many miracles, and that is the biggest gift of Yoga Tribe for me. As I say to you at the beginning of when I was describing what to talk about it, to learn as well what is my biggest witnesses and what are my biggest strength through being an entrepreneur, I think that that is what you really get, to recognize what you're strong at. And this is, you know, like I'm not embarrassed anymore to say that I'm pretty good at making things look good. You know, that is my strength. I'm pretty good in socializing and make someone feel warm and welcome. That is my strength. But I'm really bad in numbers. I'm really bad in exporting and importing and barcoding and things like that, you know, and I'm not embarrassed to say that anymore.
I think that is so good. You know, I was at my, I call it my Nana job, where I work with the elderly. I was at my Nana job this morning, and one of our kitchen ladies is away, you know, on holiday. And so she's like, Nat, you're in the kitchen. I'm like, I'm ready to go. I'm wearing my ponytail. I'm washing my hands. And I have to and I'm so bad at making things look good. Like, you're great at making things look good. So I have to lay out these biscuits on these plastic plates and then cut these sandwiches. And you'd think it was pretty basic. And I just get so like bamboozled, and I'm like, should I put these biscuits here? Should I overlap them? Like, it's just not my area of strength at all. But it's so important to know the areas of weakness, as well as, you know, I can scream from the rooftops all the things I'm good at, but I can also scream from the rooftops all the things I'm not good at. And I'm totally fine with that. So I think that's really, it's really important. So for those of us listening, I'm sure most of us can relate to a time in our life when we have felt like we were in the hole, right? Where we felt like things, you know, we maybe we were surfing the wave, but eventually something, you know, crashed or something happened. How do you smile again? How do you get yourself out of a situation or a funk? We would love to hear. Also, we'd love to know what is resonating for you from this conversation. You can send us a text, 2057, or if email is more your vibe, inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear. Coca, I love what you said earlier on. You were talking about how yoga is not just something that we do when we're standing on the mat. You know, it's something we can do in the grocery store or when we're driving the car. And to me, that was surprising, because when I think of yoga, because I'm such a newbie, I do think about, you know, flexibility, and I think about being present. I do think about that. So tell me a little bit more about how we can take some of those yoga practices or philosophies and bring them into our everyday life, maybe to help us smile again, or maybe just to help us get through the day or be more present. How do we do that?
Beautiful. Yeah, thank you for the opportunity to share this, because it's something that I really value to pass that message, because as you said, when people think about yoga, you either think of a super flexible person, you know, a beautiful lady that put the legs up to the sky, or a super yogi with a white turban, super spiritual, almost religious, you know. And yoga really means union in Sanskrit. And the union is between your mind, body, and spirit. So there is a yoga asanas, which is the stretch aspect of yoga, is the stretch of your muscles, you know, or the fascia, really, releasing tension in your body. But there is other type of yoga. The meditation is a type of yoga. Kundalini, that works with the energy, is a type of yoga. There is yin yoga, that, or restorative yoga, that you hardly even move from the mat, from the floor. You just restore and give back to your body. So there is infinite type of yoga, but the yoga that I was talking about before is mainly an innercise, that I call. Instead of an exercise, you innercise, you go inward. So you can do that anywhere, anytime, for as long as you want to. Could be 1 minute, it can be 2 hours, you know? And it's bringing the attention to your breathing and using the breath like a key of freedom, you know? So when you see yourself stressed, or when you see yourself in the traffic light or in the big line in the supermarket and you're in a hurry, that is a classic, you know, when you're like, oh, come on, why you have to take so long, you know? And observe yourself in that moment, in that reflection. So the yoga will allow you, the meditation in this case, will allow you to be the owner of that thought, to decide what to do with that thought. So the thought arises, the emotion arises, understanding first that emotions are energy in motion, right? So anything that is moving around you as an emotion, you have the power. We all have the power. I'm not different than you, and you're not different than your daughter or anything. So we all have the power to capture that emotion and to decide what to do. That is the moment that you become the author of your own reality. So the interesting and beautiful part of it is that when you train your mind to become the director of that mind, you decide what are the thoughts that you're going to be feeding into and what not. So if you're in a line in the supermarket and you're in a hurry and you're getting anxious and desperate because the line is not moving and the person in front of you is putting, I don't know, one grape at a time in, through the counter, and you feel like you want to scream, can you hurry up? You can also say, well, that is not realistic. That is not going to take me into any good place. Or same with the traffic light, you know, like you choose to not feed that thought and that emotion. Whatever arises to you, you see it, you let it pass. And how you let it pass? By breathing. That's why you always go to this class and you say, inhale, breathe. You know, you focus on your breathing, not because well, it's also really good oxygenating your cells and rejuvenated and everything that happened when you bring in fresh oxygen into your body. But it's also the key of freedom, you know, like through the attention that you put into your breath, you're actually calming your mind. And you can do that anytime, anywhere. So you're not only stretching then when you practice yoga or you think of yoga, you're not only stretching your muscles, you're stretching your mind and you're stretching your heart, your spirit, you know? So it is when you understand that. I say to a friend of mine the other day who told me that he was massively stressed, I say to him, understand, start to meditate, understanding that the meditation is like you're going to the gym. He's a big gym person. So you're going religiously every day to the gym because you want to be fit and healthy or look in a certain way. And it works for you. And you manage to get a pretty good routine and you go into the gym. Now, if you dedicate some time during the day, could be even 1 minute, it could be walking your dog, it could be anything, brushing your teeth. You don't need to sit down with your hands in certain position with your eyes closed to meditate. You just have to bring the awareness to a space where you are becoming the author of the next thought. So the thought comes up, you decide what to feed. You decide what is going to be your reality. What is the thought that you're going to be bringing to the universe, you know, and creating from it. Because that's the thing, like I'm sad. And then you start to think of all the sad things to actually become sad, deeply mm-hmm. sad. Or you are sad and you can say, I am sad, but today is such a beautiful day. And what a beautiful flower is this one or whatever. I love my coffee this morning. So what you choose to smile again by choosing the thought that you're going to be feeding. You know, I don't know if I answer your question.
No, absolutely. And it makes me think of, actually, it was just yesterday, I was at the post office posting a copy of my book to actually Bryony, who's one of a previous guest as well, and sending her some essential oils. And the woman in front of me, you know, that she was, I was just waiting behind her, and the woman in front of me was in a real rush, and the lady at the post office said, oh, just wait, I have got to give you a receipt. She was like, no, I don't want it. You know, she rushed away, but she was very, obviously very running late or in a big rush. And it was interesting, my response, because I've been there, you know, I've been late and trying to rush before, but what it did for me is it made me actively become more present. And then she was said to me, oh, sorry, I'll just be a minute. I'm still finishing up with her package. And I said, No rush at all. Like, I was like, no worries. Like, I actually became more present and more calm than my usual personality, which is pretty enthusiastic and efficient, right? So I actually was like, it actually, because I noticed how rushed she was, I just went into very present and very intentionally calm because I didn't want her to feel like I was also in a rush and she had to hurry. I was like, take your time.
But But also this beautiful story that you just said, it is you have the possibility to see, to bring the awareness to an external situation. It was like watching a movie. Mm. You saw the stress, you saw that, and you choose to not be that. Mm-hmm. So that is exactly the same thing that we do through the meditation and through the yoga practice. But instead of seeing it as you had the privilege to witness someone so stressed and you choosing to not be that, through the meditation, you internally do that work. You don't have to be watching it externally. Mm-hmm. It's an inner size. That's why I call it inner size. You know, it's like, it's a training that you do within yourself, and you can do it anywhere, anytime. How amazing the world will be if we will be taking care more of that inner work. You know, all the emotions that arise every second, like all the thoughts that we have per minute. If imagine everyone taking ownership of that and being responsible, there will be way less victim, you know, around, therefore way less conflict, because everyone will be taking ownership of their situations and the part of the game that we create.
I love that concept of inner size. If you've just joined us, you're listening to the Up Your Brave show. I'm having a chat today with Coca Klug. We're talking about smiling again, finding the key to ultimate freedom to overcome everything that life throws at you. And life does throw things at you. As you know, Coca, I'm about 3 weeks into my yoga journey. I really was an absolute newbie. I got mandated out of my Pilates class and my fitness class 4 years ago. And I don't think I've ever done yoga before, but I've been going to the hot yoga, far infrared hot yoga. You keep saying to me, don't call it hot yoga. It's far infrared. So thank you for the reminder. I feel like I am feeling the benefits, but you know better than I do. What are the benefits of far infrared? Like, the minute I go in, I feel like my skin is detoxing and improving. Can you just walk people through, if they've never heard of that, what are some of the benefits of that far infrared hot yoga?
Well, the thing is that the reason why I correct you is because it's so much more than just a hot yoga, you know. Mm-hmm. Infrared saunas are therapeutic. It's well known of the benefit of jumping into an infrared sauna itself. It's just good enough, you know. If you can do an infrared sauna every day in your life, you will improve so much your health, because the heat that is producing in an infrared sauna, which is different than a normal sauna, mm-hmm. is coming from the inside out. So the normal sauna will be, sorry, that's my dog. The sauna, the normal sauna is from, it's super hot outside, and then you get hot from the heat outside. Mm-hmm. And then you get hot and sweaty. But this heat is different. So it heats in a cellular level. So the detoxification in a cellular level is amazing. So imagine doing a yoga class or a fitness class, which is these people are doing as well, and offering. It just really allows you to get to places that you normally wouldn't get. At the same time, you are constantly detoxing. So it is really important to drink a lot of water before and after, mm-hmm. even during, but during wouldn't be like essential. So you allow the body to, the water to carry all the toxicity that you already get rid of through that time. So honestly, I couldn't recommend it enough. It's just like the best combo. You know, you people pay to go for an infrared sauna session. Mm. You have in a gym, a yoga, and an infrared all in one. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, well, it's interesting because I haven't been in a gym for about 20 years. You know, when I was at university, I was on the track team, cross country team, and I used to go to the gym and do weights. I haven't stepped foot in a gym probably 30 years, let's be honest. It doesn't appeal to me at all, you know, but actually joining the yoga studio, I was like, it's part of a community. I think that's the thing. It's a community as well as fitness, as well as something new for me, like the yoga. And I'm very inflexible because I spend so much time sitting at a desk. So it's really good for me. And the thing with me, my friend had sent me a YouTube link. She said, this is amazing. Do this yoga class, right? It's free. Mm-hmm. Did I ever do it? No. Did I even click the link? No. Why not? Because for me, I have to be invested. So I have to be paying. So I need to become a member of some sort, you know, putting something into the kitty like I do. And it's the community. Like whenever I go, I just take someone with me or I meet and I know about half the people in the room because that's just how I roll. And I love that.
And the girls who are teaching there as well are doing such a great job. It feels safe as well. Like I brought my daughter along and she struggled with the heat so much. It's like, Mom, I'm not enjoying this. And I'm like, pass that moment, you know, like, because she was literally suffocating. And I'm like, Mila, this is all your mind telling you how hot it is, which is hot, so hot, you know, but see, use it as a mind training, you know, like that's exactly what we were just talking before. It's like, okay, yes, it is hot. Can you overcome it? Like, can you focus your attention in something else? Like, can you celebrate the fact that you are spending some time in your body at giving and spending some time with your mom? You know, like it's all about the story that you tell. Mm-hmm. And coming back to the smile again concept is another key for it. It's like choosing the story and the narrative that you allow to feed into it, you know, so that will define the direction of your entire reality, whatever it is, what you're facing through. So it doesn't matter what life is throwing at you. You just come back to the knowing that you have the freedom always and forever to choose again. Mm. You know, so how can you not smile again if you have that massive gift, the possibility to choose again? You know, it's just, I found it fascinating. So when we went to this hot studio, far infrared sauna studio with my daughter, like I did the practice with her there, you know, it's like, okay, you can choose not to not come anymore. It's a pretty amazing opportunity for you to get fit and to get like all this benefit. You are detoxing every time you're in this room. Mm. Why you don't focus in that and enjoy the sweat, you know?
And I didn't find it too hot at all. I brought my husband along and he normally doesn't really like hot things. He's more of a, like you know how you love plunging in the cold ocean? Like you just do that on the daily. And he also loves that. That's not really my vibe. I'm more of a warm, hot person. But you just reminded me, it's so interesting, the stories that we lay on things and how we can look at our lives and the hardest phase of our life. You know, if I look back and I go, well, I guess, you know, the earthquake and the fact that our house was in the red zone and we had just spent $200,000 renovating our forever home. And then suddenly it was in the red zone. It had to be actually destroyed. And we had a brand new baby who was only 3 days old when we had to leave. And you know, I could look at that story and I could say, that was so hard. Oh my gosh, poor us. Yeah. Like, it, you know, my husband lost his job and I had these three kids and da, da, da. But I actually look at that and I go, well, life obviously wanted me to go in a different path. It wanted us to end up in Auckland where we didn't really know anybody and we had no friends and we had no house and we had to start again. But look at how things have played out and look at how the invitations, the opportunities, the connections, the deep friendships that have resulted. So I feel like, you know, it is easy to look at things and go, you know, that was really hard, but I kind of look and I go, you know, that was just life heading me where I meant to go. And I feel like it was almost the same with you and your yoga mats. And maybe our listeners can relate when you look back at, you know, when you look forward at your life, it doesn't really make sense, right? But you look back at the path you've come, the windy, windy road, and you go, oh, okay. That's why, that's how I got to where I am.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
I think that it would be so beautiful for both of us to be able to, because you need some age in life, you know, like you need to have life in order to have this realization that we now can see. When you were in Christchurch dealing with all this, it was massive. When I was in the middle of this story with the mat, it was massive. But I feel like I always say that in this stage in my life, I don't get the bullets anymore. You know, like you can throw it at me and it's kind of like I can even smile again. You know, I can smile at it because you know that it will also pass. And at the end of the day, it is always perfect. You have no idea how it is playing the game for you. But if you have that sort of knowing, I call it the knowing, you know, like just the big, deep, deep awareness that certainty, I will say, the big certainty that it will also pass. It's important. Mm. You know, like, that is the only thing we know for sure, that nothing is forever.
Yeah.
Life itself. So if we can disattach to the need of keeping things as they are, keeping us safe, keeping us, so understanding that in the moment that you recognize that you are afraid of something, go for it. That is the moment that, you know, like when you feel like, I know I'm so scared of making the decision, make it. Because there's an entire whole new universe in the other side of the cliff, you know? And I guess that is the benefit of being older these days, you know? But I feel the obligation to pass it on to the younger generations that they might not have enough life for it, but they have this type of, you know, listen to a podcast or listen to your radio or listen to or seeing a video online that can be a older person reminding you and telling you, hey, trust, this is how it really works. I always say that to my daughter. It's like, you can make as many mistakes as you want, but I'm here trying to make you, to give you a shortcut. You know, like, why would you go through all the level of pains that I went through when you already have the homework done kind of thing? And she, very intelligent, she also say, like, there is things that I need to learn by making the mistake, yeah, which I totally agree with.
It's
a big thing of human being. And then understanding that also is a beautiful thing to name here will be that there is times that we need to embody the pain, just actually feel it, go through it, to learn the beautiful lesson that was in the other side of it. You know, nothing that kills you, or how is that say that say what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, is such a good thing. It's so true.
I think you're right about, like, we don't want to gloss over things and say, oh, well, you know, other people have it worse. Like, we actually want to honor the depth of our despair, right?
Yeah.
Go
through it, cry when you have to cry, you know, and even like, I guess that this would be another beautiful thing to share, you know, like, there is moments that I have no physical, mental, emotional capacity to get out of my bed. And I don't. That is the difference between me and probably the rest of humanity, that I actually give myself permission to not get out of bed.
Yeah.
And that is okay.
And to not soldier on like the way most people would. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, and to understand that the next, and maybe when it's like a month that you're not getting out of it, which has never been the case, but you know, like that, there is a moment that you can reach out for help or do something different, obviously, because it's not productive. But if you ever feel like there is a time that you need to stop, stop, you know, give yourself permission, find your own balance, which is also yoga. You know, that is the practice of yoga. That is what the gift of yoga. You are practicing yoga, you're doing the asanas, but and you think that you are just stretching your muscles, but the fact that you are pushing through or staying in a balance pose, staying in a balance pose is actually giving you balance in your real life, in other matters, you know, without even knowing that you're doing, you're training your brain, you know. It's just pretty awesome. I just love it. It's so amazing. I would love to, for more people to get into it and understand and less afraid, you know, like you don't need to be flexible to be practicing yoga. You know, you do yoga to be flexible.
There are so many metaphors, you know, for yoga and living your life. I'd love to ask you about, I think you call it HOM. I know that you've been so busy on your business, but you also do, I don't know if it's life coaching or mentoring, but something where you're helping people with these things, like being smiling again and coming home to who they truly are and that type of thing. Can you tell me a little bit about that?
Of course. Thank you so much for bringing it on. Home is kind of like my heart offering. You know, I feel like I'm in a stage in my life where through all that I've been through with Yoga Tribe, there was a time, especially in the last 4 years that you were just asking, I found myself very lost. I found myself kind of like, I've been trying to resuscitate a business and I become a business person when the truth is that I believe that I came to this world for way more than just selling beautiful yoga products, you know? Mm-hmm. And that's how HOM was born. I call it the soul training. And where I'm, it is a little bit of a mentoring or life coach. I struggle to tag myself and label myself with those standards names, but I guess that it is that, you know? But it is a training or it's a time that we spend together, a program where I, instead of promising you the solution of all your problems, is like giving you and sharing with you the tools that have worked for me through this yoga and everything that we have talked today, to remember, to come back home, to understand what is in within you all the way through, that you forgot, that is keeping you small, and that or paining your body, you know, the pain that we carry in our body, the lower back, the shoulder, the neck, the hip, the heel. If you think about it, it's pretty common spaces where we often, people have pain and they have lots of meaning. Your body is constantly screaming at you, telling you a story. And the idea of HOM is having me by your side to help you to kind of like a translator between your body and you, to be able to listen to your body better, to understand what was the message there, the metaphysic aspect of all illness, you know, that what is there that we couldn't really, we had a headache, we go and take a Panadol, or I don't know what people take, but, you know, like you trying to patch all these pains and all these things that when your body is actually screaming at you for attention, screaming at you to tell you, hey, can we have a beautiful communion here? As we used to have when we were children. See, if you think of our children, they move so freely. They have so much energy. So the energy is flowing interruptly and freely through their bodies. Mm-hmm. You know, that is the idea of HOM. It's like remembering what we were when we were children. Like, what is the blocks that are in your body that are not allowing the energy to flow anymore freely. And plus the psychological support. So it's basically leaving the yoga that I was just describing the entire time that we're spending together, the body, mind, and spirit union by remembering and coming back home and understanding that home is that place where we feel amazing and safe, you know? So that is the concept of home. And it's
so beautiful. I love when you, you know, it's interesting thinking about kids and children, because what do? They skip, they swing, you know, they swirl, they lie on the ground and look up, they kick the ball. You're right. It's like, I think we all just need to learn how to be kids again.
They have no filter, you know, like how many of us learn how to be quiet or being polite or be just to not annoy someone or to upset, you know, like, so speak, I think that you do this work as well, speaking your truth, like your voice, working with your voice and all these elements. And so there is a form, it's a 12-week program. And we go through the unblocking limiting beliefs. But the beautiful thing about home, and I guess that the signature is, and that's why I call it the soul training, because we go deep, you know, we go deep into what really is affecting your entire holistic well-being. So the idea after those 12 weeks is that you feel pretty amazing that you're ready to take your own toolkit home and do your work anytime.
Yeah, I imagine they reemerge so differently. So I'd love to ask you, I'm going to ask you the Up Your Brave question, but while we're talking about home, I'd love to find out how people can connect with you if they want to find you on Instagram or look up a website or find out more about your soul training. How can they do that?
Cool. So there is a Instagram and a website for Yoga Tribe. It's called the Instagram is called yogatribeofficial.com. No, the Yoga Tribe Official in Instagram. By the way, that was I just got it back because our official Instagram page that has more than 80,000 followers got hacked.
Oh gosh.
In the middle of the 3,000 yoga mats full team.
Of course it did.
Yeah, of course, right? So that was hack, and we started again. And to be honest, since that happened, I have never really put the same level of love and attention for it because I've been trying to survive with so many other levels, right? But it's Yoga Tribe Official. We do have Yoga Tribe Europe and Chile as well. But my personal account is coca.cluck or @coca.cluck.
And we're going to spell it for people, coka.klug.
Yes, that's okay. Right. And I recently just opened it up for public. It was private before. And it's quite a big exercise for me. You know, like I just realized that I had a massive block to be in the spotlight for some reason. So it's great. It's great to be sharing it. And if you feel the call or any resonance with my words, please feel free to reach out there. And home is a page in Yoga Tribe of yogatribe.co.nz, which is the website for Yoga Tribe. And there's events there where you can find us. And I don't know, I will invite people to go and visit the website and navigate it and read through it because it is such a beautiful website. It has quite a lot more than just yoga products, you know. It's a lot of well-being products, beautiful products, little gifts, and a community, as you said, you know. It's way more than just, you don't even need to practice yoga to be part of Yoga Tribe, you know. I guess that
and that's what people are craving. They're craving more community, which is something you've been offering for so many years. Coca, if you were to truly up your brave for the remaining months of 2024, what would you do?
I love that question because I think that it has a lot to do with the opening of my private Instagram account. Will be definitely expose myself more, put myself in the camera, in the microphone, in the, you know, like sharing more. I have kept myself quite small for many years, and I'm starting to enjoy sharing more. And I think that that will be my upgrade 100%. It's hard for me. It's not something that comes up natural to be in the spotlight. It is interesting because it seems like I'm always in the spotlight anyway. But it's not an easy task for me. So I'm determined to start to share more. I had my podcast, the Smile Again podcast, that I'm planning to build and enjoy and have good time with. And that will be the biggest brave movement for me, to put myself out there more and to start to share more from my, because I forgot to do it. I was so concentrated surviving, making a business, that I forgot who was Coca Kluk, you know? So that will be definitely my 2024 goal.
Well, we look forward to hearing and seeing more of you on Instagram, and also sharing your journey, but also sharing the wisdom that you've collected all over all those years. All right. Is there anything else you'd love to share with our audience before we wrap things up?
So there is, I would love to share my favorite poem.
Yeah.
It's a poem that is a lot to do with what we've been talking about. And it's something that really, really, I read it and makes me smile and makes me feel, yes, it's so true. So this is the poem. It's from Albert Camus. And it says like this: "My dear one, in the midst of hate, I found there was within me an invincible love. In the midst of tears, I found there was within me an invincible smile. In the midst of chaos, I found there was within me an invincible calm. I realized through it all that in the midst of winter, I found there was within me an invincible summer. And that makes me happy, for it says that no matter how hard the world pushes against me, within me, there is something stronger, something better, pushing right back."
Beautiful.
So every time I read it, I feel like, yeah, there is always something stronger and better pushing right back, you know? And I feel like if we remember that, we can always, always do it.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Coca, for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me. I feel very, very blessed.
And thank you, everyone, for joining us. And I hope you enjoyed that topic of Smile Again.
Thank you for tuning in to RCR Reality Check Radio. If you like what you're listening to, dislike what you're listening to, either way, we want to hear from you. Get in touch with us now. You can text us with your message to 2057. That's 2057. Or email us at inbox@realitycheck.radio. We would love to hear from you. So connect with us today.